Aging and getting older is a fact of life, but a lot of how that happens is up to you. This is Lisa Berry, and that's why we at 89.1 WEMU have created a new feature we're calling Modern Aging. And my partner and co-host for the segment is Dr. Teresa Reed of Ann Arbor. Hi, Teresa.
Hi, Lisa. How are you doing?
I'm good. You don't look a day older than the last time I saw you. This is our third segment, and every time we talk, I bring up what I have found to be one of the positives of aging, and that's wisdom. And you always tell me,
takes work. It's not a gimme.
It's not a gimme. So,
right.
Well, let's talk about wisdom then.
Cool.
A lot of people call this perspective New Age, and it actually goes back thousands of years, doesn't it?
Oh, for sure. I mean, you know, all of Western philosophy and much of Eastern philosophy, all of human philosophy has been working on the question of what is wisdom and how do you get wisdom for thousands of years. So it's not easy, and it certainly is not new.
And can you be young and be wise?
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
Oh, shoot. I was hoping it was one of the things you had to get with age.
No. And you can be old and really not wise, too, right?
That's true.
Yeah, for sure. But no, I mean, you know, we've all met. In fact, I have to say my younger daughter, who's 19, is an old soul. You know, you refer to that.
Absolutely.
You know, you've heard that old soul, and I think she's an old soul. But whatever that actually means, but it gives the sense that she's wise, especially for her age. So, no, you don't have to be old to be wise. And just because you're old doesn't mean you're going to be wise. It really takes some work.
How do we get wise?
Oh, boy. Well, start with intention.
Intention is everything. I really believe that. In every aspect of life, if you step back and say or think or look at what was the intention, really explains a lot.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're pretty unlikely to develop fully your wisdom, your capacity for wisdom, if you don't have an intention to do that. To think about, how do I want to use these last 30 or 20 or 30 years of my life post-retirement? There is a lot of opportunity for emotional and psychological and spiritual growth in that period, but a lot of people just sort of float on by it, and the culture suggests that that's okay. That actually it's fine to just, you know, play golf or whatever you want to do in the quote-unquote golden years. Of course, a lot of people these days don't have the financial resources to do that either. Lots of people are still working into the quote-unquote golden years. But if you want to really cultivate wisdom, you need to have the intention to do that.
A lot of times I think as we do this show and I think about aging and the aging process, when you're young and you're little, you play with dolls and you practice getting married and you practice having a family and you envision that part of your life, but you really don't plan about, as you mentioned, for the golden years, do you?
Well, you know, the only kinds of images that the culture has been providing has been up until about now of the golden years is that really, honestly, exclusive and, well, to me, a boring vision of golf and shuffleboard and cards and, you know, just whiling away the time. A lot of people don't want to while away the time. Some people do, and that's fine.
Sure.
No judgment.
Right.
You know,
right.
That's fine. Yeah. If that's what you want to do, totally, you know, go for it. But a lot of people really feel the need for purpose in their later years and need to develop ways to be purposeful.
Is that something you can envision for yourself?
Yes, absolutely. In fact, I think it's essential to start envisioning. What do you want your elder years to look like? You know, what are your unique gifts that you have expressed throughout your life? And how can you cultivate those gifts? How can you fulfill your own needs for emotional and spiritual deepening and continued learning and pleasure and excitement as well and good health? But, you know, just thinking about that and writing it and reading and talking with people about it is a really important part of starting to develop your wisdom.
Where does forgiveness come into wisdom?
Forgiveness is huge, right, in all of our lives. Part of cultivating forgiveness would be looking at the past, so reflection on the lives that we've lived, where have we been, what's been most important to us, how have we changed and grown over the years, what's helped us change, what have our contributions been, just thinking about those questions. And typically for, I would venture to say, 100% of us, we bump into times when forgiveness is necessary, if we're going to move on. And the forgiveness takes a few directions, right? You might need to forgive yourself for harm that you've done to others, intentionally or unintentionally. You might need to forgive others for harm that they've done to you, intentionally or unintentionally. And most of us need to forgive ourselves for harm that we've done to ourselves over the years, harm in the form of talking badly to ourselves, telling ourselves that we're not good enough, telling ourselves we'll never be okay. So that forgiveness work is really deep and important and freeing.
Very freeing, because I say that when you don't forgive someone, if you're angry with them, you're just holding on to that yourself. They may not even be aware of it. So you're just hurting yourself by not forgiving someone else or even yourself, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. Forgiveness is a gift to yourself. But it's not easy.
Right.
You know, it's hard. It can be very, very hard. And especially, you know, for a lot of us, I mean, all of us have suffered blows in our lives. It's just the nature of human life. We hurt each other intentionally or unintentionally. Some of us have been hurt way, way, way more than others. We've really experienced a lot of trauma. So forgiveness is a personal path for everybody.
What are some of the tools that we can use to get wiser as we get older?
Well, you know, on my website, agingforlife.org, I have a lot of resources that go towards this work. There's a woman, a psychologist named Kristen Neff, who has specialized in self-compassion. Her website is self-compassion.org. That sounds a little, you know, like self-pity or like, oh, well, we're not supposed to be compassionate for ourselves. But actually, it's hard and possibly impossible to be compassionate, truly compassionate for others if you are not compassionate towards yourself first. So self-compassion.org is a good one. And then another wonderful organization is called the Center for Conscious Eldering. The man Ron Pevney, who founded the Center for Conscious Eldering, has a wonderful book called Conscious Living, Conscious Aging that has work to do, you know, very thoughtful, very interesting exercises. Also, the book From Aging to Saging is another one, and the organization Saging International has wonderful work to help people move through a process of reflection, and purpose, identifying and harvesting of life and forgiveness and so forth. Another one is Lewis Richmond's book, Aging as a Spiritual Practice. So there's a lot out there, and I've put a lot of it's on the almost all of it's on the website.
Lots of resources, and we will check those out with your links on our website, WEMU.org. Dr. Teresa Reed. Again, we're not getting older, we're getting wiser. And there's lots of ways to do that. Of course, listening to Modern Aging is one of them, and we appreciate you listening here on 89.1 WEMU.
Support for Modern Aging comes from Vibrant Life Senior Living, offering an innovative approach to assisted living and memory care. Focused first on helping each person live a full, vibrant life. Compassionate care, meaningful relationships, and engaging activities in a beautiful setting. Superior Township now open. VibrantLifeSeniorLiving.com.